We'll be looking in the book of St. Matthew and the 21st chapter, Matthew 21. We'll start reading in verse 33 and read the rest of this chapter. A lot of reading, I beg your patience, but please listen close to the Word of God. Matthew 21, and we'll start reading in verse 33. The Bible says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. And when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. You may be seated. A tremendous passage of scripture that I read in your hearing this morning, and I do earnestly covet your prayers that the thoughts that we've had on this, that God would bring them back to our remembrance, if that's His will, but most of all, that we would be led of His Spirit. And I tremendously love when Jesus talked to them about parables. I know that some may marvel at it. Some people say, well, why would he do such a thing? Or some people still may not like it when these things happen. But understand this. A lot of times, the Word of God is trying to paint a picture in our consciousness that we might see where we are at in this picture. And without a doubt, Jesus, as he stood here, sat there, as he declared unto them this parable of the vineyard, without a doubt, those of the religious sect were highly offended. But them, if you will, that was, if you will, not so much accepted in the religious realm, I tell you, I believed in their heart, they were excited to hear such a word. Why? Because sadly, a friend, whether or not we realize it or not, but when a generation is, if you will, self-righteous, when a group, if you will, of those who call themselves the church or even the children of God, and they began to be self-righteous and they are looking down their nose, whether they're conscious of it or not, I don't know whether or not that we have been conscious of it in the past. I'll tell you what's real bad is to be on the receiving end of that. When you are condescended down to in society to where that you don't quite make the grade, so that, my friend, that you are not accepted, but others are. I'll tell you, I can remember back when I was a child, I have been on the receiving end of that. You may be able to remember back in your days when you were, if you will, let's think about it like this for just a minute. Some of us grew up poor, some of us grew up wealthy. But you without a doubt remember back when you were in school or you were in a social environment and there were others there that were very wealthy and there were others there that weren't too wealthy. And you can't help but notice the treatment that my friend or the privilege that the wealthy get and the lack of privilege that the poor get. It divides our country even today. And my friend, they let it bleed over into, if you will, the racial tear that's in our nation today. Because they think that many are white privileged. They presume this. And sadly, there are many that exalt themselves much higher than they ought to. We need to be sober. And we need to understand where our place really is. And the most important thing is this. Is that the light of the gospel of Jesus would be that light that manifests where we really are. Amen. Instead of the false light of self-righteousness. Now these priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees, as they heard Jesus speaking this parable, and in the back of their minds, I could just see them, how they began to rise up in their self. I know where he's going with this. But then my mind begins to think about those, my friend, who have been, if you will, on the outcast side of things. And all of a sudden they hear the news that his vineyard's going to get let out to another people who shall bring forth their fruits. Friend, I promise you, if you've ever been barren, if you've ever been without fruit and you knew you were without fruit, and God gives you the opportunity to bear it. You want to bear real fruit for it. You don't want a facsimile. My friend, you don't want something that's fake, but you want something that's real. Now, as he said here, after this, he said, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected. As I looked at that this morning, and I promise you there's more here on our heart, but I need to spend just a few minutes of time here. The stone which the builders rejected. Now this tells me that they that are working on the building, they that are trying to construct the house of God, them that are trying to build the Lord's house, they've made choice over a stone. They've made choice over a piece of material, my friend, that's supposed to be used. They've made a foul judge call. I don't know about some of you men, but I know that I've worked in the past, and some may lay rocks, some may lay block, some may use boards, and I distinctly remember as a boy on the job and trying to work and help others do things. I seen carpenters and they pick up two befores, and what do they do, men? They look down the crown of that board and they see which way the crown is, and if they can use it, they'll lay it over here. And I've seen some even put a mark on one side because they want to put the crown up. They want it to carry the load. They are making choice of the building material. Friend, let me ask you something. In the days of your life, in the journey of your soul, in your faithful work for God, have we made the proper choices spiritually in our hearts with what we're using to build by? The Bible teaches us right here that the builders rejected a certain stone. This stone that they rejected was Christ. My Lord in heaven, what a detrimental mistake that they didn't realize it. There's no possible way that they knew that that was the Christ, but my friend, they deemed it not good enough. You know what? We get it set right up here in our little gray heads that this is what God wants. This is what God can do. My friend, we need to be reminded of what the book says. He says, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Dear friend, I don't know about you, but I do not want to be a builder that has rejected Christ. I don't want to be known as a laborer at the house of God. And I went about all the days of my life a-working, but I was never known to use the power of God. What are you saying, Mike? What are you trying to say, preacher? I tell you, friend, they are literally hundreds of men today. I would say hundreds of men, and even in Buncombe County, that are doing their best to build, but they're not using this great stone of Christ. They've got it in their mind what God is, what Jesus is, what the Lord is, and my friend, they don't want no part of that because they are convinced in their own selves of what Jesus is. That's exactly what these people were. They had it in their mind that when Messiah comes, he's going to do this. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to do that. And when Messiah comes, this will happen and this will be. Friend, let me tell you something. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God indeed. I pray you've got those days in your life. Listen on to the Bible. He says, the stone which the builders rejected, this same stone, my friend, the Bible says, is become the head of the corner. I don't know about you, but that just gets a hold of my heart. It moves me that, my friend, that the world throwed away. That, my friend, that the religious crowd said, I don't want no part of. Bless the name of God. He's at the head of the corner. He's the one that sets it all in order. He's the one that, my friend, says this goes here. And that's going to end up over there. Why? Because he's the head of the corner. Whoo, I love that. Amen. He's the one that sets the direction in both ways. He's the one, my friend, that says it all starts and stops right here. Friend, I'm glad I know the head of the corner. I'm glad the head of the corner knows me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That would preach till Jesus comes. The human vocabulary don't have words to describe the head of the corner. He was the beginning, and he is the end. And I'll tell you what they said here. This is the Lord's doings. Listen to this. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Now let me ask you something. I don't preach much on punctuation. But if you look at the book, and I love looking at the book, there's a question mark after the word eyes. Let me ask you something. Turn that into a question. Don't just leave it as a statement of the eternal God in which we know and that it is. But let me ask you something. Is he the head of your corner? And is it marvelous in your eyes? I pray it is. I pray that it is. Because I can promise you this. He'll keep things straight. Whew. I love that. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Question mark. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. You ever seen people start out good? You ever see them make a great big bold start? And then all of a sudden, it seems as if they lose what they got. Well, let me tell you what religious rhetoric will do for you. It'll leave you high and dry. Traditions of mankind will pollute your conscience to the place, my friend, where you won't even have a prayer life talking to God. Religious rhetoric will infiltrate your conscience, my friend, and it will cause self-righteousness to grow in you, and you won't want anything to do with the power of God. You just want everybody around you to think that you're all right with God.
Oh, the detriment of rejecting this stone. The detriment of saying, no, I don't want that. God help us. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What does that tell you? Children of God, it ought to make us rejoice. Why, preacher? There's going to be a kingdom come. And my friend, when God Almighty gets here, and my friend to call this thing to an end, there's going to be a kingdom here. And it's going to be bearing the fruits of God. Some people say, well, it's falling away day by day. They that went out from us were not of us. My friend, doubtless had they been of us, they would have continued. Know this beyond any shadow of doubt, my friend. There's just not many that's valiant for the truth. There's just not many that have this real kingdom of God living in them. They've passed over this stone which the builders rejected. Now, who are the builders? Well, preacher, he's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. May I say this? I believe many times the builders in our lives are called good intentions, because we intend to always do better toward God. We intend always, if you will, to increase in godliness. But what happens to those good intentions? I tell you, my friend, the road to hell has been paved with them. But what does it take to bear fruit? What does it take? Walking up to a prayer ground last night, and I passed by a fruit tree. I planted what? 3 years ago? Guess what I found on it? That thing's hanging full of little bitty apples. Ain't been an apple on it a time. This being the third year it's been planted, and lo and behold, I took a picture of it. I was proud of the fruit on it. But what does it take? It takes some steadfastness, friend. It takes, my friend, a purpose of heart. It takes enduring hardness as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. My friend, I promise you, there are going to be some long, hot days. There are going to be some dry times. But I believe this, a child of God cannot help but persevere, and my friend, and endure until there's some real fruit can come off the tree, that this world will know who planted me. And not me myself. I hear a lot of men many times, I have never done that, and I know I can't. Listen to me. Without him, I can do nothing. Without God, I am dead, 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 dead. But through and by him, this ought to bless you. He's made us more than a conqueror. I need to run on. He says, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Fruits of the kingdom of God. Now, what is the fruits of the kingdom of God? Well, preacher, it's never missing a service. Well, preacher, it's always been. Listen to me. What is the fruit of the kingdom of God? The evidence of who's living in there. Oh, I promise you, it's going to have the Spirit. And I hope you understand what the Spirit and its fruits thereof are. Loves. That's the number one thing. Do you know what? We will say that I love old brother so-and-so, or I love old sister so-and-so. But you know what? There is no fruits in our own conscience to back it up. Why is that, preacher? Because we have rejected the stone. Stay with me. Stay with me. Listen to me. We know we're supposed to love them. We know we have to love them. If we love God, we've got to love them. We know that. So we'll tell ourselves we do. You know what? There is no fruit to back it up. Stay with me. How long's it been? I love you. I'm going to preach on you in just a minute. How long has it been since your knees were spent, your heart was breaking, and your eyes was leaking for them that sat around you right now? And then you're going to tell me you love them. I tell you, you have disallowed the stone which God sent to your life. Yes. How do you know, preacher? Listen to the book. I love the Word of God. It's an amazing gift. It blesses me every time I pick it up. But listen to the Bible. He says this, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God." Oh, Lord, what a loss. Listen to this. He's saying to them, the kingdom of God. I don't know about you. And I know I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that my name's written in His book, and I know He wrote it there. But my friend, when somebody loses the opportunity of possessing the kingdom of God, what a loss! What a tremendous loss! You'd rather bury your children. You would rather bury your helpmeet. You would rather lose everything you've got than to lose the opportunity of the kingdom of God. Listen, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And amazingly, he says this next, this is God saying this. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, whosoever shall fall on this stone which the builders disallowed, this way, my friend, of faith and hope in God, our trusting in the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ, my friend, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Shall be broken. Do you remember? Is it fresh in your mind? Is it evident to your soul? Are there no shadow of a doubt that day that you fell on the stone, that your heart was broken and all you could do was weep? If this has never happened, then my friend, there's only one other course. Well, preacher, you're splitting hairs. I went to the altar. I prayed. In all of what I just said, it's the wrong pronoun. I. God draws us to the altar. God does the work in the soul. And upon God doing all of this, it will cause your heart to weep because you shall be broken. Do you think that God is wanting literally your vessel to break as if it were that your arm broke off your body or your foot broke off your leg or your ear fell off your head? What broken do you think He's talking about? It's down in the very center you'd be in. It's down in your very heart, mind, body, and soul. And my friend, it'll break it all up, he says, when you fall there. I love the word that he used. Fall. Can you control a fall? Have you got anything to do with the fall? I'm reminded, Sister Shirley, last year she went out this back door and she turned a sharp left. She is on her way to the car. And she fell. And my friend, she couldn't do anything about what was happening to her. She was falling, so she tried to protect herself. She brought her hands up and she bounced right down on her shoulder. It scared me to death. I kept saying, "Sister Shirley, you all right?" And I was genuinely concerned. But listen to me. She was there when it happened. Now, could she control anything? Could she stop and get back to her feet? Could she redirect it? No. Friend, let me tell you something. When you fall upon this stone, the only reason why that you will fall upon this stone is because you realize you have no place to stand. My friend, you'll find out that the ground that you are on is sinking sand. And my friend, it's a slippery slope. It ends only in destruction. There's no hope. But my friend, the only place to fall is upon this stone. And when you fall there and you find the reassurance of Christ, of this precious stone that they rejected, I can now say it's mine. It'll break your heart all to pieces. Why? That he had put his son in my way. That God would put his son in the place that I am to fall. In the place that I am to no longer exist. That God would put his darling son in my way of destruction. My way, my friend, that was going to consume my very life. Thank God for the stone I fell on.
What happened? It broke me.
I have to confess this. I was weeping so hard I didn't know what to say. Well, preacher, everybody's experience is different. I know. And might I say this? I've about heard that till I'm sick of it. Because yes, everybody's experience is different. I'm not saying that it's not. But I tell you what, there's only one God of salvation. Yes. There is the unity of the Spirit, and they are the bond of peace. And I've seen men who were as backward. My friend, their personality was as dry as a cardboard box. I've seen men, my friend, that was as bashful and unable to speak in public. I've seen every bit of this. I've seen them that were great orators and loved to speak. I tell you what the power of Christ does. It does away with men's person. They die when they fall on the stone. They're resurrected a new creature in Christ. Did you hear me? A new creature. A creature that's been created for the glory of God. They sing in the unity of the Spirit. They seek for that great anointing power. My friend, not that they would be approved in man's eyes, not that they would be accepted with the religious rhetoric of our day, but that the glory of God might be seen to the world of what God has done for me. Oh, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That word shall can be taken out, and the word must can be put in there. Must be broken. What are you saying? I'll tell you, there's some people who have tried to fall on the stone, but they weren't broken. They wanted everybody else around them to think that everything now with God is all right, except for God. They knew they needed to do something. And they went because so-and-so went, and they went because he went, she went, and they went. What did God do? Where was the Lord at in this great day when my friend, the divine master, who was doing a marvelous thing, presented unto you the stone in which you could build something right by? But no, we get out our chunk of gold, a coal, and we shine it up, and we call it God. And we're not established. We don't dig in his word. We don't ask him for his spirit to lead us. If it pleases our flesh, that's the way we'll go. Have you ever had to do something that your flesh didn't want to do? Now stay with me. Has God ever required of you to do something that you did not want to do? I had to take a motorcycle back to a man one day. I'm not trying to be carnal. But God had told me no about buying that bike. I wanted it in my flesh. I could afford it. We could go riding. But in all honesty, it just come to me like a ton of bricks. What did God say? And I knew I had to take that back to that man. Oh, what a deal he had painted for me. But that's not the end of it. I had to take it back to him, not just tell him no, I didn't want it, but I had to tell him that God told me no. There's where my flesh struggled. I just want to tell him, no, I don't think I want it. But that's not what God said to do. And that wasn't enough. I had to tell him eyeball to eyeball, God told me no. There've been times I've had to stand up at church and testify, and I didn't want to. There've been times in the journeys of my life that I went places and done things for God that in my flesh I did not want to do. Well, preacher, we all want to do the will of God. Listen to me very closely. I have a treasure in an earthen vessel. And until he gets crucified and slain out of the way, he will be my opposer. But I tell you what a joy. What a blessedness. When this outward man, my friend, is made to conform to the image of Christ. What a testimony it is to my own conscience. What a help it is unto my own soul. That God Almighty would send his word to my life to lead me into places that I would not normally go and do things that I would not normally do. That the word of God might testify to me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. It'll help your life. There's some of you sitting here right now. You do not have a clue of how much your testimony in the congregation of the righteous would be a help to the house of God. You have no idea. When God has come by your consciousness, when God, my friend, has spurred you to stand and testify and tell of what God has done for you and you did not do it. I'm not asking you to do something on your own, but you have no idea at the blessing you robbed your brother and your sister from. You don't understand that. I'm not trying to beat you over the head, but what I am asking you to do, my friend, in the walk of this faith, in this great stone which the builders disallowed, that God Almighty sent in your way for you to fall upon, that you might really know you're born again. When that stone would unction you to stand, you have no idea at the blessings that it can bring to the house of God. But because this carnal mind thinks, what will this one say? Well, this ain't supposed to happen. You see what happened? Look, you see what's going on? We got God all set up in our minds, and our religious rhetoric has disallowed the leadership of His Spirit. God, help us. I trust the kingdom's not been taken from you. Let us run. Listen to this. He says, but on whomsoever, oh, God, help us. It shall fall. It will grind him to powder. Oh, Lord, help. This ought to absolutely scare us to death. Well, preacher, I'm not afraid of God. My friend, listen to me very closely. You are no match to Satan, my friend, in the religious rhetoric that he can produce in the conscience of your carnal mind. Unless the Spirit of God has set you free, you've never been free in your life. You may have thought you got free. You may have thought because you felt good in the flesh, because you went through the certain motions, that, yay, I'm a winner. Where's your steadfastness? Where is this marvelous thing that God has done? I tell you what, I see people's religious works fall by the wayside month after month, year after year, and generation after generation. But I do know this, that God has done is done forever. If we knew the obviousness of those that house the power of God and those that don't.
Let me ask you something. If I blindfolded you, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be a realist, and I want you to understand something. If I blindfolded you, spun you around and around, put you in this car, put you in that car, drove you over there, put you in another car, drove you over there, and my friend, and I took you out of that place, and all of a sudden you began to look around, and over here's a mansion, over here's a mansion. Over here's a mansion. Behind us is a lake. Why, in a little while, it ain't going to take you long for you to understand that you're out there at Inca Lake. And my friend, and it's a beautiful neighborhood, very rich,
And my goodness, that's where I must be. Amen. Would you not be able to understand where you were at by what you were saying? You couldn't help it. Oh, but then if I took you somewhere where it was impoverished, 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 it wouldn't take you long looking around to see that you're in a very poor, adverse neighborhood. Let me tell you something about the fruits of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you a little something about the kingdom of God. When it's inside of a life, when God Almighty is living right down in here, I tell you, dear friend, it is very obvious where God lives. And it is very obvious where God don't live. What are you saying, preacher? Please know this. Sadly, the only person you're fooling is yourself. Why? Because the builders disallowed that stone. Now they done it individually first. They done it individually first. And they were looking around to see who else was going with them. And because it was a religious crowd, it convinced them they were doing the right thing. But you see, it was an individual thing first. So let me ask you something, dear friend. Do you know that you fell on the stone? Do you remember the brokenness and the contrite spirit? The Word of God says this is who God will look at. He will look to him that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You can read this in another place. Where that Jesus said in that day, many will come and cry, Lord, Lord. Why, preacher? Because at the end of that, he said, because you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So you see, my friend, we can't just love in word, but we must love in deed. And I promise you this, you're not going to have no trouble loving, my friend, your brothers and sisters at the house of God and looking past the sin that you can evidently identify in all their lives when Jesus is living in you. Why? Because he looked past, if you will, covered your sins and called you his own. And you'll consider yourself and find yourself with bent knees and a broken heart weeping that God might help them who are overtaken in the smallest of matters. But on whomsoever it shall fall. So now this is telling me, by the way I read and understand, whosoever it shall fall, it's going to fall on somebody. Everybody's not going to heaven. And this stone is going to fall on some. Can you imagine the weight? Can you imagine the destruction? The heaviness that's going to press them. That, oh Lord, I know you preached to me. I know you dealt with me and I never ever answered you. The weight of this conviction. I can't imagine souls in hell. I know I've read the book of Revelations and I read over there where John said that he saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. I read that one day and I wept. Unless God stands them up there, they won't be able to stand. Even them, you can read, that have ended up in hell in the days of their journey. The Bible says that death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And they are now standing before God. And the books are open. The books are open. And they're judged out of these books. And then they are cast into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not. They're tormented for eternity. And we understand by the Bible and by the Word of God, we understand what the rich man was thinking in hell. And he's not been brought out of there yet to be cast into the lake of fire. And we know by what the Bible says, his thoughts were in hell. Why? What did Abraham say to him? Remember. That's what Abraham said. Remember. So what does this tell us? That in hell he is able to remember. That in his days he flourished lavishly. He prospered in every direction. And what does not every man's flesh want? Prosperity, 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 prosperity. Our flesh loves it. But what did the greatest man outside of Jesus Christ ever say? What did he say? I must decrease that he may increase. Dear friend, let me ask you something. In all sobriety and all soberness of soul and all consciousness of mind, do you know? Do you know that you fell upon this rock? That this rock was put in your way. That, my friend, this stone was the builders disallowed in thee. My friend, that my mom and daddy could not do for me, that religious rhetoric could not accomplish in my life, that God Almighty set in my way. The gospel of Jesus. Did you fall on it? You know what we like to do? We like to walk around it. We like to walk around it. We like to kneel beside it, but we don't want to fall on it. Why? Because if I fall on it, it's going to break me. And if I get broken, that's on the inside is going to come out. They're going to know what I am. Welcome to the kingdom of God, where all things are naked and open under the eyes with whom we have to do. Thank God he broke me. Thank God that ugliness that was on the inside poured out. Poured out how, preacher? Weeping in tears. God, I'm sorry. I'm such an ungodly, wretched sinner. Well, I was trying to say I was sorry. Wrong pronoun. Wrong pronoun. There's words that comes out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit that tongue cannot utter. Sounds along these lines, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You're willing to do anything. You're willing to be anything. God, just save me. I'm polluted. I'm destroyed. I'm consumed. I've destroyed my own self. God, you found me. God, change me. I tried to fix myself year after year, month after month, and week after week. And I never got it done. Until one day, I fell. Why did I fall? When something is dead, it cannot stand. Now, there's some men who'll take a They'll take a chainsaw or they'll take an axe and they'll chop a tree down. And that tree will fall. And where that tree falls, the Bible says, so shall it lay. There's no way you can ever stand it back up. It cannot go back to where it was. It falls. Wow. God took a gospel sword one day and he chopped me down. And I fell. It was what slew me. I fell. And when I fell, he put the rock right in my way. And I tell you what, it broke me all to pieces. And when God got through with my life, I would to God I had words to describe how clean I felt on the inside. How light my heart felt after being so burdened, so weighty. Well, preacher, because I don't have your experience, you're going to say, I don't have. I'm telling you what God done for me. I ain't asking you, my friend, to have the same thing. I'm asking you to know that you know that you know. And by these, my friend, I believe you're going to bear the very fruit of the trees of righteousness that God has planted. Why, preacher? You can't help it. You ever get the can't help it? You ever had to stand to your feet and not know what you was going to say? You just knew you had to stand up? take a breath in, and all of a sudden it starts running out of your mouth. You didn't even realize what you was about to say. No, I believe I need to be in control of my faculties. Yes, and your religious rhetoric will drag you into the flames of hell, in which one day that existence of your being will be cast up out of that, and you'll stand before the great white throne judgment of God, and these books right here are going to be opened. And you're going to be judged out of them. Preacher, you're just preaching too hard. Oh, God forbid. I don't know that I could preach it straight enough. It's a narrow road and it's a straight way. And there's not many on it today. There's not many at all on it. And in times past, and it's gripped my heart, it's spurred me in my conscience. God, am I preaching it straight enough? Lord, help me. I pray, God, send it as straight as I can preach it, that it might turn somebody's life before it's everlasting too late.
Well, we're okay here, preacher. You just, let me tell you something, friend. You're not saved because the preacher says you're saved. You're not born again because grandma or grandpa said you were born again. You're not saved because of what your husband, your wife, your family, your enemies, it's what God says.
And I tell you what, my friend, God will claim them that are His under all circumstances. You don't think so? Oh, my goodness. I read in the Bible where a man went and he bought his wife back from an auction block. I believe she was standing there naked. Preacher, that Bible don't say that. I tell you what, my friend, I know the custom of their day, and I know what they were going through. And by all accounts that I can learn and understand, Hosea bought his naked wife off of an auction block. And he took her home, and he loved her. What are you saying, preacher? God will claim back that's His. But preacher, I'm unworthy. Who in the world is worthy? None of us. We've all sinned and come short. But thank God He'll claim that's His. But what about my shame and my dirt? Dear friend, He's bore it all. We ought to get to the place to give Him the glory for what He's done. Lift him up. Do you think you were righteous this way, bought you? Do you think, my friend, you deserved it? Do you think you were worthy? None of us was found worthy.
Some may not like this. I can't help it. It is my convictions in the Word of God.
You know why? You're not going to like this. I'll tell you before I say it. And I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to be wise to our adversaries and maybe help you to defeat them. Because we get things set up in our consciousness of how things ought to be, and we leave it alone. We don't ever allow the power of God to override what we think we know. Listen on. Remember the woman at the well? Jesus went to where she was. Understand something. In that day, women were not like the women of our day. This woman had been abused. This woman had been used. This woman had been, if you will, no choice but to enter into that lifestyle. Well, preacher, I don't know about that. I'd rather die. Wow. You've never been hungry. You've never been sleeping outside. And had a dog of a man go up and grab you by the arm and say, "You're coming home with me." Well, that wouldn't happen because you get things set in your mind of the way our society is today. I tell you, in that day, women were no esteemed no higher than a cow out in the field. They were viewed as property. And when them of the higher end of society didn't want it, they threw it out in the street. Don't worry. The dog came by and claimed it.
for a few days and then threw it out. What are you talking about, preacher? Do you know why I can identify with that woman? Because one day he came by and sat down on my well.
Yes, he did.
And I know what sin had done to me.
Yes.
Sin lied me. Sin deceived me. Sin slew me. Then God put a stone in my way.
Yes,
and allowed the gospel to slay me. I found it. Broke me all to pieces. But I know this. He made me a brand new creature. I can't ever get it said. He changed everything. He changed the grass in my yard. No, preacher, he don't do that. I didn't realize it. I was a young Christian. And I walked out on my mom and dad's porch and I looked down there in that yard. And I seen that grass like I had never, ever seen it before. My mind went to every hayfield I'd been in, my neighbor's yard, and I stopped and I realized my father grew that grass. I heard birds a-singing, and my ear heard them giving glory to God. I heard the stream running down the creek. It was giving glory to God. And then about 6 months to a year later, he let me read in his Bible that he had made me a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. I bowed my head and I wept. Why, preacher? He reminded me when I got to see everything new. Why? Because I had failed on the rock that he put in my way. Bless his holy name. I wonder today, do you know that you fell on the rock? Or would we be a part of these next two verses? And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. You know, I've preached the gospel to some, and it is as if they sit on the edge of their seat waiting to catch me in a snare. I've seen that. Listen to me very closely. Friend, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will never back up from it one ounce. I cannot. You can have my head before I do. But know this. Will there be some offended by the word of God? Yes, they will be. And chiefly, them that are carnal minded. I promise you this, children of God will never have to raise a shield against the Spirit of God. They'll never have to raise a shield against the preached gospel of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, preacher? Oh, there's many today that say they're preaching the word. Oh, but the sword's in their hand. And the shield is of their making. And they've got an agenda that they're going to get across. And if you go with it, good. And if you reject it, then you're a heathen. I don't stand in the conscience to be judged in the courts of men's minds. I've been eternally judged before God. I was waiting to balance and found wanting. Till Jesus came by, he set a stone in my way, and he slew me, and I fell upon it by his amazing grace.
Yes.
I didn't have anything to do with that fall. It was bred into me. I couldn't help but fall. Because I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, I was sold under sin by Adam. I had no choice in the matter. Well, preacher, people choose God. Really? Well, I tell you what, you get the book down this afternoon and you search it from Genesis 1 to Revelations 22. And when you come across it, you mark it and you call me. You bring it to my attention where that God said in his word that he made man a free moral agent. It's not in the book.
Oh, but it don't have to say it exact. But it means this. To appease the conscience of carnal men's minds in their religious rhetoric, because the stone in which they disallowed has now become the head of the corner, and they're going about to try to establish their own righteousness and not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God? No, thank you. I'll just be broken. I'll just be shattered all to pieces. Because I like being the new creature in Christ. It's a brand new life. I'm getting to be an old man. Older and older. Day by day. But I tell you what, the journey's getting sweeter. I want you to come go with the church. I want you to come go with the Lord. I want you to be able to know down in the depths of your heart that God put a stone in your way. And my friend, the sword of the Spirit slew you and you fell upon it. And lo and behold, he made everything new. You don't put new wine into old bottles. My, what a message that is. But you put new wine in new bottles. Else the bottles break and both be lost. Both the wine and the bottle. Tremendous message in what Jesus taught there. Let us rest in our seats.